Hello, friends. We're continuing now with our work, Egoic Lotus Webinar Commentary Program number 52. It's part four of synthesis for pedal number 7. Occasionally there may be a little static sound in the background. I never know the internet connections and what they may do, but I hear it. So if it is the case, I hope it won't be too interfering. We've reached the point of the Acklery process, which is found in Esoteric Psychology Volume 2. I've expanded that process a little bit to talk about the path of evolution, ambition, integration of a selfish kind. Then, of course, the Acklery alignment crisis light. Revelation, or maybe repulse, should come in here, actually. Let me put that in there. Revelation and repulse, they really go together. And then the integration process, yes, and then fusion, initiation, and duality and identification. But we can really consider it to be Acklery, alignment, crisis, light, revelation, integration. And this idea of fusion, well, let's see, fusion really does, soul fusion follows the integration of soul and personality. A fusion is a further step. So can this begin to happen before the first initiation? Can the alignment begin to occur? I would say it can. And it does relate to personality integration at first. But then comes the soul, and as the man seeks alignment with the higher of the pairs of opposites, the soul energy enters and creates a frictional situation which leads to a crisis. So the alignment occurs in terms of the Acklery process with the soul, and one then is having a crisis, and this crisis can appear in the work even in pedal number 5. And I see my own imperfections here. The light comes, alignment crisis light, and it reveals all that must be cleaned up. And this is especially so, I think, in pedal number 6 and continues in pedal number 7. So this is, let's see if I get this correctly, this is so in pedal 6 and continues in pedal 7 and even pedal 8 in this long process of deglamorization. Between the first and the second initiation. So the imperfections, the dirt, all that is stored in the bottom of the aura, so to speak, is revealed because there has been an alignment first. So we have that process of having to get rid of the dark which we discover within ourselves. And first degree initiates indeed have to purify as they prepare for the baptism. The baptism is a significant purification, but it has to be prepared for over quite a long period of lives. So the crisis of the birthplace is upon us in pedal number 7. The Christ is taking his place in the heart. It's a new factor that has to be attended to and cultivated constantly. There is some integration going on with an aspect of the energy system of the soul. Some soul infusion is beginning. Now, we don't really have complete integration. well, we can't even really say we have it at the third degree. We certainly have the complete, well, I think for practical purposes we can say we have the integration at the third degree and then complete soul infusion at the fourth degree, where the personality is simply a sub-factor in relation to the soul, simply an instrument of the soul, a sub-ray of the soul ray, and is putting up no resistance. So alignment is occurring in this seventh petal process. Different crises occur in relation to each initiation, and certainly there's a big crisis that occurs involving Pluto and Vulcan for the first degree. So much is eliminated and so much pressure must be accepted. And light begins to pour in and continues to pour in over this long interval between the first and second initiation, revealing all kinds of imperfections which must be eliminated under Pluto and worked through as one submits to the soul will. Is there revelation yet? Excuse me. Not really a revelation of the divine plan yet, just very partially, one would say. And we're still a long way off from thorough integration. The true law of repulse is not operative until we can begin to build the antikarana, which is occurring more as we're approaching the second initiation. So maybe this should be actually an E. Evolution, ambition, selfish integration. Then comes alignment, crisis, light, revelation, repulse, integration, fusion. Initiation, and the technique of duality, and then following that, identification. So the earlier parts are not relevant. We're no longer, strictly speaking, on the path of evolution. We've gone beyond seizing the orange ball of personal ambition. Alignment is continuing to occur. The crises are intensifying and will be really intense by the time we get to petal number 8. Light is beginning to pour in and will really reveal, I think, an unsavory condition between the first and second initiation when a person has to work hard to become de-glamorized. And then will there be the revelation of the plan? Well, I think the repulse might come even before a true revelation of the plan. It's hard to say which would come first, and then follows the integration. Repulse occurs before the third initiation, when there's really quite a thorough integration of the soul energy system and the personality energy system. So I think we're well in the process of working with the acclery process here. But not yet do we have the significant revelation of the divine plan. Most of what is revealed is what has to be corrected in the aspirant. And although, you know, some revelation of what has to be done in the world may begin to come, the major attention of the individual is on sorting himself out and making sure that the type of service offered is free from the taints of personality problems. Well, we have different types of light. The zodiacal lights, I think, are found here in esoteric astrology around, let's just go to page 329. Yeah, that's where it is. And, you know, we can associate these different types of lights with different signs of the zodiac. The Libran type of light would be important, the light that moves to rest. This is the light that oscillates until a point of balance is achieved. It is the light which is distinguished by moving up and down. I would say between the pairs of opposites. I have here the idea of a beam of directed focus light, and that is a Sagittarian type of light. It is in this, the point of light becomes the beam, revealing a greater light ahead and illumining the way to the center of that light. And since this petal can strongly be associated with Sagittarius, I would say that this type of light is to be taken into consideration. Scorpio is involved here as well, since the first degree comes under Scorpio, as does the second especially, and the third also. The light of day, this is a place where the lights meet, the light of form, the light of the soul, and the light of life, perhaps not yet the light of life. They meet, they blend, and they rise. Well, much is coming into the light of day, to use that phrase in a colloquial manner. And even the various types of light can come here. The light of the soul, a reflected point of light, logoic or divine, the light diffused in Cancer focuses and reveals eventually a point. Not just the point of individuality, but the point which is the soul and which is feeding the life increasingly. And there is a blended dual light of Virgo as well. Two lights are seen, bright and strong, the light of form. One faint and dim, the light of God. Well, maybe the light of God is not so much coming in, but the light of the soul as it reflects the light of God is. This light is distinguished by a waxing of one and the waning of the other, and it differs from the light of in Gemini. There's going to be a fusion as a result. So these are the kinds of lights that can show themselves here. There is a mountaintop experience, in a way, but of course not the third degree. And we're not yet to the point where we can deal with the light of Aquarius or the light of Pisces, per se. And this is Sagittarian. And a number of other zodiacal lights can here be considered relevant. Okay, now actually I see, you know, I'm blending this with some keynotes and considering Sagittarius to be important here. But also Libra, I choose the way which lies between the two great lines of force. One is always deciding for the soul. Let food be sought. Well, that certainly works quite a bit with some of the earlier petals, you know, where the man becomes the hunter, and even in the very first petal. But perhaps the relevance of these ordinary mantrams is not so great once we reach petal number 7. I see the goal, I reach that goal, and then I see another. That applies for all of the petals of sacrifice where we are really aiming towards the soul. I choose the way which lies between the two great lines of force, or which leads between the two great lines of force. We are always having to choose the soul over the personality once we reach this point. And the soul is very much, in a way, the middle path. The spirit is the extreme. We're not involved yet with extremes. All right, now, as I said, My colleague who helped arrange this for me put in some other factors on which I can comment maybe just a little. Do we have the sense of the five organs of action? The voice, the hands, the feet, the excretory organs, and the organs of generation. Well, some restraint and proper use has to be put upon the organs of generation. We are in terms of excretory organs psychologically, we are certainly ridding ourselves of many undesirable traits and accumulations from the past. Our hands and feet and our voice must learn increasingly to speak according to the laws of the soul, which are now entering and which have to be considered. And even if they are not considered in the strictly occult manner, they are entering via religion and other ethical systems which point towards the kinds of achievements which the laws of the soul are intended to achieve. I mean, the other systems, they will point towards the need for sacrifice and community based on a high type of relationship. That would be the second law of magnetic impulse. And also service and getting rid of what is undesirable. So even if the technicalities of the occult laws of the soul are not known, other religious and ethical systems will arrive at similar conclusions. And our voice, how we use our voice through the throat center, is a great responsibility at this point. The formation of words and the thoughts behind them are very restricted in a way under Saturn and under the seventh ray as well. They have to be purposeful and aimed at the manifestation of that which should be, and not used in a random manner under the earth, where all kinds of thought forms are being voiced, some good but many bad or indifferent. There has to be regulation coming to the voice, and the hands and feet have to serve, obviously. So those organs of action are coming under control because we have reached the point of initiation. And of course the mind is being disciplined. It is the sixth sense, and some degree of the seventh sense is coming in. What about the organs of receptivity? The ear, the skin, the eye, the tongue, the nostrils. Well, we're developing them all, are we not? We're developing sensitivity. We're learning to listen to the voice of the soul. We're learning to see with some spiritual discernment, and our sense of taste is improving, and we're trying to catch the scent of that which is truly holy and leads towards the soul and eventually towards the monad. As I say, I'll leave to others the alchemical journey. It is a huge discussion, only to say that we are transmuting base metal into gold. We are transmuting the lead of Saturn into the gold of the sun, and the sun is the soul. So the soul itself is a great transmutative agent and is carrying on this process increasingly through the initiatory process. Now I have to change here to look at the tarot just a little bit. Under Libra, we generally have the card called Justice. Here it is. And there is said to be a proper balance achieved between the soul and personality. So the soul gains its rights, and the personality has its proper rights as well. Not yet have we reached the point of Scorpio, where the desires are going to die, the lower desires, and leading towards the death of the personality. So it is particularly this Libra and a Justice card, and I think that is the most appropriate. I think Libra has a lot to do with the first initiation, because it is connected with the sacral center, as we have seen in the earliest days. We have the unbalanced fiery passion for the undeveloped man in Libra. So immediately we see that it's connected with the sacral center. And of course it's ruled by esoterically by Uranus. And so there is another connection, and even by Venus, which magnetically draws people together. DK tells us Mars is more connected with sex per se, but certainly the affiliation and attraction is there for there for Venus. So, are there other cards here that, well, the Hermit card we did discuss in terms of Virgo. But, of course, that lonely way is being trodden through the dark tunnel or cave on the way to the blue oval with the rosy cross. So some of the virtues of the Hermit are still required, and in terms of Sagittarius, temperance is what we have. And we are learning how to not let our lower tendencies get out of control. And there is the Death card under Scorpio is applicable here as well, because the whole Scorpionic regime begins at the in earnest at the first initiation. So we are putting many things to death, and Pluto is important in the lead up to the first initiation. I think that should be sufficient there. I mean, of course, it's a huge study, but it's good to know how these different cards will fit in the general developmental process as it is reflected in the egoic lotus. Certainly, the sun is rising here, the sun card number 19. It is rising, and with the initiatory process, but it is not on top of the mountain until the third initiation, and the moon is subsiding. Well, there's a huge study here for us if we want to really link the entire tarot with the initiation process. In itself, it is a system of initiation. Okay, now, don't want to jump too much here. See, I have to have this with the pages divided, which makes it less easy to scroll. But if the pages are not divided, then you don't see these images. When it comes to the mental chakras, well, we will assume that the sacral center and the solar plexus center, the base of the spine, well, perhaps that comes a little bit later. But we are definitely using the egoic lotus as if it were a source of chakric power. Eventually, it may be the case that the egoic lotus is actually replaced with chakras that are found on the first, second, and third sub-levels of the mental plane. Perhaps after the egoic lotus is destroyed and the Maya Virupa is created. Now our next number is number 67, dealing with the Noble Eightfold Path. Of course, the Four Noble Truths apply constantly, and there are different ways of naming these, but I would just say in general that all of them have to increase on the path of initiation. Right speech is very important here because of the throat center and the general lifting of the sacral energies at the first degree to the throat center. Some of these have to do with the third aspect of divinity, right livelihood, and people often find that they can no longer pursue, strictly speaking, the work of the personality without having it infused by the soul. We're learning how to meditate, we're learning how to concentrate, we're learning how to remember accurately. All of these are applicable to the individual who is on the path of initiation. Yes, the Four Noble Truths, of course, they are realized in greater depth increasingly. And the real detachment from desire comes in petal number 8 under Scorpio. So we're working towards that as we work in petal number 8 and in later petal number 7 between the first and the second initiations. Now we have the 8 means of yoga, and of course the earlier ones are preparation for the later ones. But we are learning how to meditate. We are learning how to control the etheric body to a degree. So the pranayama fits here. The abstraction, we are pulling back from identification with different aspects of the personality. Concentration enters under dhyana. And the meditative stages are growing in power across the 3 petals that have to do with the path of initiation. We're not yet achieving this samadhi or contemplation or synthesis or anything like a final nirvana. We have to deal with the 5 commandments and the 5 rules. So the 5 commandments, harmlessness, truth to all beings, abstention from theft, abstention from incontinence, abstention from avarice. We are learning soul values for sure. Nothing is perfect at this point, and in truth is not even quite perfect at the 3rd degree, but at least the ancient authority of the personality is ended. So these are the restraints which we are learning about, attempting to practice between the periods of the first and second initiation, and I would say apply it even to greater effect once we reach the second initiation. There still can be spiritual ambition inducing the theft of thoughts. There still can be incontinence, incomplete control of the energies. One still can want to accumulate for oneself. It's not money necessarily, but it can be spiritual goods, so to speak. And harmlessness is certainly not perfected until one has reached the 4th degree and beyond. I suppose it's ever greater stages of harmlessness. When it comes to the niyama, or the rules or restraints, we are definitely working upon internal and external purification. That's one of the major themes for the first degree. There is divine discontent, but also contentment in another sense, realizing that you have to accept the karmic condition in which you find yourself and not always be chafing against it, even though you have divine discontent. Fiery aspiration is strong here. Spiritual reading is coming in with spiritual discernment. And devotion to Ishvara, or the inner god, or the planetary logos, is growing in power as we proceed. So we can see that these commandments are fulfilled to an ever greater degree as we move through the petals. But some of them are focal, let us say, and truth to all beings. This is a petal connected with Sagittarius and with the mind and with knowledge and with the 3rd ray, and ultimately the goal of the 3rd ray is truth, just as beauty is the goal of the 2nd ray and goodness the goal of the 1st ray, the good, the beautiful, and the true. So at least the cultivation of truth to all beings becomes possible through the de-glamorization process and through the eventual disillusionment process. So that is certainly beginning here. But harmlessness, it takes a great deal to achieve the fullness of harmlessness. Okay. With respect to the 8 Beatitudes, maybe I can go back here to the non-divided page. Well, these come from the atmic plane, and the fulfillments are not yet here, but we have to cultivate mercy and peace and purity in heart. Increasingly, we will be persecuted by the fourth kingdom of nature as we prepare for an interesting phase of ejection from the fourth kingdom of nature as we enter more fully the fifth kingdom of nature. And the fourth degree initiate, interestingly, is really ejected from the fourth kingdom of nature into the fifth. The poor in spirit, those who are not hungering after outer attachments. So they are poor in the outer sense for the sake of spirit. We may mourn the loss of that which we are detaching from, but the higher energies will comfort. We are certainly training ourselves here, and we are using all the knowledge we have accumulated towards service and towards the domination of the lower self. The word meek, says Alice Bailey, is not all about being a nice person and fairly futile and ineffectual. It's all about being trained, she says. And we have this high aspiration towards righteousness. So all of this is quite a promise for us at this stage of the first degree, and none of them is fulfilled completely. They are fulfilled completely when there is a total relinquishment that comes at the fourth degree, I would say. Okay, we've talked about the commandments, I do believe, already. Yes, we have. So, all of these are found in the light of the soul, and it elaborates on the nature of harmlessness, truth, abstention from theft, abstention from incontinence, and abstention from avarice. So yama and niyama are elaborated here, but we don't need to go into those elaborations at this point. What about the advanced themes for meditation? Number 71, I don't think we're quite there yet, but as I say, presented attributes, what we are willing to present in service to the world, that can be considered. The third aspect, the advanced third ray meditation can be considered, but we're not really yet advanced meditators. We have not yet achieved inclusive reason and certainly not isolated unity. When it comes to the 15 councils, are they found on page 473? Well, let's just take a look here. 473 of A Treatise on White Magic. We have certainly practiced a number of these by the time we have reached the first initiation, but we have to continue to purify and to really learn to act as the thinker, to create thought forms that are purposeful and rightly motivated. This is very important, and we certainly continue that all the way through our training in the preliminary initiations. A lot of this is about purification, which still necessarily continues. And if we want to be deglamorized, well then, words of selfishness and of hate and the idle words have really to be watched, and that will also cut at illusion. So this is mostly about purification, and we are really continuing to tread the path of purification. In a way, we are probationary disciples, even until we reach the stage of accepted disciple, which may be a number of lives after we have taken the first initiation. So all of these still do apply. I would just say that in general, as regards the 15 rules of white magic, we are entering the idea of creativity on behalf of the world. We cannot be white magicians at this point because we do not have the single eye and we're not focused within the causal body. But we can begin to create thought forms for the helping of the world and to make sure that our astral nature is purified. We probably don't have the means of magically manifesting these factors. If we go here, the rules of magic are found right at the beginning of the book. We cannot get into all of the occultism of these rules at this stage of the seventh petal, but we can certainly make sure that we are not swept away by emotion and that we learn how to concentrate within the head and that we build thought forms which are according to the plan. And that we keep our etheric physical mechanism pure so that even though we have to work out our plans by our own hands and our own feet and not through magical words, we will do it properly and we will not be manifesting that which is not in line with the divine plan. So the true work in the field of magic is not really possible unless we are initiates of the third degree, but we are working in that direction and we are learning how to create, at least, in line with the plan. We can do the work on the mental plane to a degree. We can attempt to contact the solar angel. We can circulate the energy. And we can work on thought forms which are of value to the manifestation of the plan and which we can carry out using our ordinary purified human mechanism. The occult methods per se are not really at our disposal at this first degree. With regard to archangels, I'll just let this pass. That's a huge subject in itself. But interesting that it is included here. The archangels, of course, in one respect, are the planets. And we've been talking about the importance of the planet Saturn connected with the third aspect of divinity, with the third ray, and connected strongly with Libra and with the power of thought and with discipleship. So Saturn, in a way, is Michael, the archangel Michael, but we could probably find ways in which other archangels are here involved. When it comes to the Sephirot of the Kabbalah, let's see if I have, I may have to come back here to the divided pages. Okay, well these are the Sephirot. Okay. And let's see. Wisdom, we've entered the Hall of Wisdom. We have some degree of understanding. It's incipient. We are learning how to... Well, let's look down here. We are learning some degree of compassion, which is mercy, which is chesed, which is under Jupiter. We are fortifying ourselves as the strong and aspiring disciple, the use of Mars in this sense. The sun is coming under Tifereth into greater prominence because it is the soul luminary in the microcosmic sky towards which we are becoming oriented at least. The beauty of soul life is increasing, Netzach. And the solar angel is becoming a factor of focus, and in our occult meditation, we seek to contact this solar angel. The Hod, or Mercury, we are learning to think and to use our knowledge in the correct way and to come to terms with karma, since all of this is written down by the great scribe. And we seek to overcome the moon and to manifest on Earth. I think the higher aspects of the Tree of Life are not really a part of our process. Although wisdom and understanding, but we're certainly not crowned yet by any means. The crown is coming in, I think, finally with mastership and with entering into Shambhala, and has to do with the monad quite definitely. Chokhmah together is the wisdom of the soul, and Bina under Saturn can be considered related to the personality, the three periodical vehicles. There are so many different ways of looking at this. Well, the Tibetan calls it a secondary system of wisdom and the accumulated wisdom of the first solar system. But he was an expert in this, and so was Madame Blavatsky. So it's just a whole other system of understanding, which can be at least partially absorbed by those of us who are involved in the Trans-Himalayan wisdom. Each of these different points or planetary powers grows in strength as we move along. Tifereth, the sun, will become stronger and stronger. Venus, the solar angel, certainly. Mercury will convey to us the intuition. The moon will fall and yet be entirely transformed. It looks like some of these have been cut off a little bit. And the base of the Tree of Life will be rendered sacred. Well, we'll leave all of these, as I say, my colleague included them, and they are interesting to think about, and they would make for important research projects for those who were interested in continuing that type of work. But for now, I think, and in terms of this discussion of the egoic lotus, this particular discussion, they are a little bit secondary. Of course, the choirs of angels and how we might come into contact with them at different phases of our development, that would be important. When it comes to celestial orders, one way of thinking about that is our creative hierarchies. And in general, the regulation of the lunar lords, hierarchy, manifested hierarchy number 6, is proceeding and will continue to proceed throughout the initiation process indicated in the sacrifice petals. So we're coming in greater contact with hierarchy number 5, where the solar angels are expressing. But another aspect of hierarchy number 5 is the personality elemental itself, which is being regulated. We are not yet understanding our monadic nature here. Hierarchy number 4. And the hierarchy of triads is yet to be contacted, and with the Antikarana building later towards the second initiation, there is more contact with the hierarchy number 3 of triads. As far as the other hierarchies go, they're too high for us at this stage. Hierarchy number 2, manifested hierarchy number 2, is already our own monads. And by the time there is very thorough contact with the monad, the causal body is destroyed. But at least at the opening of the 9th petal, some contact with the will aspect or with the monad is possible. So now we come to that final stage, which are special comments, and we have a few pages of them. These are simply miscellaneous comments on the 7th petal, and I will very shortly get into this final collection. I hope, you know, overall you've gotten a fairly large, excuse me, a fairly large picture of the synthesis of petal number 7, where the rod of initiation is applied for the first time, and where truly strenuous and abnormal efforts by the candidate are exerted, and where the man is really taking his evolution in hand. Now, the unfoldment of these petals at other times might occur in quite a natural way and a slower way, but all of this is being extraordinarily hastened by the application of the rod of initiation and by the kind of efforts to which the individual subjects himself, which at other times might not be quite as strenuous and might be more natural. So we'll get into these collected comments. So now we will get into these collected comments that came, arose in all the various classes, and some of them I think will be reviewed, but it'll be kind of a roundup of related thoughts to the seventh petal. So, point A here, we're on the fixed cross, and what we can expect, as I mentioned, is that we will be more outwardly bound and inwardly increasingly free. It's a combination of Saturn for the bondage, in a way, and in bondage to the soul, the band, that constellation called the band, which binds the personality to the soul in service of the soul. And we will be more inwardly free, that is Uranian. We might have to restrict certain behaviors and engage in those which are very taxing and laborious, hence the power of Saturn involved in all the sacrifice petals. When we are really forced to work at things which are not resolved, this is a Saturnian obligation so often. Responsibility, we're told, is the first indication that the soul is really taking control, and at the first degree it is taking control. And again, the strength of Saturn here in relation to Libra, having really to conform to the law. So when the voice of the soul is speaking, it often speaks in terms of responsibility, and there is an increasing responsibility for all initiates of the first degree. This compulsion from the soul makes it necessary for us to work very hard at our release, and hence the strenuous and abnormal efforts. We have to guard against spiritual ambition here. It's not the earlier type of ambition. We have to throw away our limitations, but at the same time, be careful that we do not allow the still unconquered lower ego to take control. We know that even on the path of initiation, that ego, lower ego, can take control. Witness the tragedy which can happen if a person does not pass the temptations in the desert. So under the light of the acclery process, we begin to see our imperfections. We become hard on ourselves. There's lots of work on ourselves in petal 6, and it continues in great earnest in petal number 7. I mean, DK has told us, "Work, my brothers." I think those were his last written words to us, and he's talked about whipping ourselves into shape. It's a rather first-ray approach. So the tendency to be hard on oneself and maybe hard on others, because projection may still be operating here, and we don't realize that our own imperfections are reflected in others. I don't know quite why it says here, "Don't be a moon chainer." Some of us can't help it. But the idea here, instead of becoming the pilgrim who is the grim pill, as it were, we have to learn with DK that recreation, recreation is needed. We have to take care of our instrument. He advised so many of his disciples to give themselves a little interlude, a little break. But then again, with Libra, the whole idea of interlude could be coming in. So one can balance the demands on the outer man, with wisdom, wisdom as it is applied to the care of the form. Now, maybe later in the Scorpio petal, there will be an all-out war against the personality tendencies, and there one has to be really wise to make sure that we do not destroy the personality in the process of becoming holy. Fanaticism can enter in this long process between the first and second degree, which involves the seventh petal and also involves the eighth. So it has to be overcome, and DK tells us that we must not sacrifice others to our ideals. Well, there's some thought here about whether there's any negativity related to the third degree, and I think it's very rare. There are some of the those in the Black Lodge who do focus on the causal level. It's a very rare occurrence, and they are unusually powerful. But it seems like such a person as Hitler, well, he certainly had veered off, and he had not passed the temptations. Did he take the second degree? Because he was certainly obsessed with purification, which is one of the reflections of the second degree, you know, the baptism in the Jordan. But he, the amazing thing about some of these people is that if they are initiates of the almost second degree or second degree initiates, they have stood before the Christ before. And unless, of course, they took the first degree long before the Christ was the Bodhisattva. This is also, I suppose, possible because quite a number of lives can be involved between the first and second degree. Well, some interesting things about Petal 7. We're working on knowledge, but we have to purify the emotional body. And there are these four mini initiations of the astral plane of fire, earth, air, and water. We are busy clearing the astral body, and that is all the way to the second degree, and maybe even somewhat after the second degree, some clearing has to occur. But we are using our knowledge in service. We are consecrating all that we have accumulated of knowledge. And let's see, again, I think it would help to go to Treason and Cosmic Fire, maybe 8. Oh, let's go to 5:43. That may be just a little too far. The petal of knowledge for the mental plane, its unfoldment marks the period wherein the man consciously utilizes all he has gained or is gaining under the law. There's the Saturn. There's Libra. For the definite benefit of humanity, and that is service. And then reading once again at 8:23 or so, the will to sacrifice through knowledge on the mental plane, and thus intelligently to dominate the entire threefold lower man. So we have the idea of service through knowledge, giving all one has of knowledge, using knowledge to intelligently dominate the entire threefold lower man. And if it's the entire threefold lower man, we're still doing work in the seventh petal when we are dominating the mental part of the lower man. So we cannot imagine that at the first degree there is a complete unfoldment of this petal, because the work of really overcoming illusion and dominating the mind from the soul perspective is occurring at the third degree. So, as I've said, the complete unfoldment of all the petals in the sacrifice tier seems to occur all at once with the final unfoldment of the ninth petal. The will to sacrifice through knowledge on the mental plane, and thus intelligently to dominate the entire threefold lower man. Okay. So let's... These are collections of thoughts, okay? it's in the Petal of Knowledge, it is useful. The powers of this petal are useful in helping to overcome the glamours, which we naturally have, and we use the mind, we use the focus beam of light to overcome these glamours, and the ability to focus this beam of light, I think, is related to petal number 7 and also to the power of Mercury in petal number 8. Transferring the solar plexus center to the heart is a long process, and it's going to operate in the several lives. I think I'll change this back so we don't have... Yeah, okay. That ought to do it. So we are working emotionally also at the first degree. There's no question about that. It's not only physically, and we have a lot of emotional work to do in the remainder of the seventh petal and as we are organizing and vitalizing the eighth. So we are rehearsing this, and knowledge is going to help us clear the astral vehicle, which must be quite well accomplished by the second initiation. So after initiation one, the soul vibration enters the emotional body and goes deep into the therapy. It's like soul therapy in the emotional body. That is the major focus once there's been sufficient clearing of the etheric physical. So the inner therapist is at work using Pluto, I suppose, to go to the bottom of the astral body. And the soul enters and does what the therapist cannot do. Or at least a good therapist will help to evoke the soul of the patient or client. Can purification include the lower subplanes of the astral? Well, we're not to have any truck with those lower subplanes, the sixth and the seventh, but I'm sure that matter of that type does from time to time enter, and we all do have a past which probably involves some of those subplanes. So that's very deep depth psychology, entering into the very lowest of the subplanes, and they're purifying as well. The hell, as it were, that is within us without our having to go to some condition, post-mortem condition we call hell, because it's right here, right now. And we have to go deep using Pluto to purify those areas, and that all is happening. I would say there's probably a lot of therapy applied between the first and the second degree, and as we move closer to the second degree, I would suppose there's less and less necessity for it. After the second degree, we have here the idea that we are sealing the door to the two lower subplanes of the astral plane. Perhaps that is the case, but we also may deliberately deal with those lower levels and help to protect humanity from those kinds of forces. Every time I change color, you know, it's a discussion from a different class. So, yes, of course, we're entering the spiritual kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom of souls. We may have even been, in a sense, entering it in an overlap manner before the first degree is taken. But while we're working in the seventh petal, before the first degree is taken, we are definitely entering the kingdom of God. And this is confirmed at the first degree. So sex, money, and comfort will always be involved. And they are related strongly to Libra, as I've said, but Scorpio eventually, well, even at the first degree, Scorpio helps to take care of our attitude towards these things. They may rear their head along the way, but they will never entirely run away with a man unless he voluntarily decides to become his own dweller. So this is the new is coming in here. The born-again experience, of course, can occur long before, but this is a kind of rebirth, and we are becoming really the true aspirant. We are hearing the soul, feeling the soul, and from time to time maybe seeing the soul or at least sensing it. It's a new regime and a new kingdom. It's taken a lot of years to get to this point. The entering of the stream, however, is really the result at pedal 8. Whoa, we can't have that. That's far too big. So let's see what we have here. This will have to do it. Okay. So we're entering the stream at the second initiation. In pedal 8 at second initiation. Okay. Everything is speeding up. I wonder if this Z represented me leaning on the Z or an after-lunch nap. I'm not sure. Anyway, I might have looked around at the class and said, we're all sleeping now. So there is a sacrifice involved in teaching and spreading the ageless wisdom. This is the use of knowledge in a sacrificial manner. It's going much against the grain of ordinary human desire and interest, and it may be strenuously opposed, such that those who offer these kinds of thoughts are rejected and even endangered. I'm thinking about Pythagoras and his school at Crotona, and how it was, they gave out nothing but the good, but it was eventually attacked and destroyed. So there is the spreading of the esoteric good news going on here. Here are some equivalences, which I think are important. Look, this is just a collection of related ideas, you know. It's not in any sequence. The Hall of Wisdom, the Fixed Cross, yes, the First Initiation, the Spiritual Path, Real Discipleship, Little Chelaship, and the Birth of the Christ in the Heart. If we can remember these things, we will see, you know, really what we're talking about. Whoop. Cancel. Okay. Now, looks like the need to get back to that. Okay. So, we're on our way to accepted discipleship. We are a disciple, but in a larger sense, we're still on probation. A revolution has occurred. Uranus rules the sacral center, and Uranus is very involved at the first initiation, just as it is at the third. Uranus conveys the seventh ray, and that is the most prominent ray at this first initiation. We're the physical disciplines applied as we're working through the Virgo pedal are becoming more and more stringent, especially as we begin to work in pedal 8. There's a certain no-nonsense attitude there about subjecting the personality to disciplines. The shake-up is occurring in all the vehicles, but the mental vehicle is not yet the subject of attention. After the first degree, it's the emotional vehicle, pretty much. And all our relationships are changing, and they're becoming more authentic in a Uranian manner. The rising sign is very important because it's pointing towards our soul destiny. So we're interested in the homeward bound journey toward which the path leads. We may go through many errors on the way between the first and second initiation. So we're increasing our study within the Hall of Wisdom. Saturn and Mercury continue because we are still a disciple, and they're both very important as we are equipping our mind. And as we are restraining our astral body and learning to understand, Mercury, our astral body. The group soul is starting to come in. It's not fully strong yet, nor are the laws of the soul fully applied, as they will be a little later. But we are working on that third capacity, or siddhi, found on the higher mental plane, the third level of it, spiritual discernment. Our aspiration is increasing. So this is kind of a pedal of excitation. A whole new process is beginning to occur. There is some danger because of the possibility of inflation. We don't yet have a true sense of proportion, perhaps. The possibilities on the spiritual path become exaggerated, or at least we think we have attained them before we really have. And we always think we are higher in our initiatory status than we really are. I've suggested to everybody that when they think about their initiatory level, they subtract at least one, and in some cases subtracting two would be advisable. We're verging towards the new group of world servers. We're men and women of goodwill with spiritual inclination, but the new group of world servers is really a group that has taken the second initiation. Otherwise, DK could not say to them, be on the lookout for those who have taken the first degree and also those who have taken the second degree. But with the impulse from the new group of world servers comes some knowledge of the plan. We're still working very much on our own microcosm, but as we serve, some glimmering of the plan in a second-hand manner is coming through to us. We are still not accessing the plan directly from the atmic plane. I think the Antikorana built is required for that. Anyway, a degree of extension is occurring. We are less and less self-centered as we move through this initiatory process. We're more for humanity, and we will become the world server of all humanity at the second degree and beyond. Greater vision under Sagittarius is ours here. As we sacrifice, our vision increases, and that is simply the law. Some degree of the will to good is beginning, and not simply just goodwill, although we have that, because, you know, let the disciple search within the heart's deep cave. If there the fire burns bright, warming his brother, yet heating not himself, the hour has come for making application to stand before the door. So even at the first degree, that first rule for applicants to initiation does apply. In another way, it applies to the third degree because it is so demanding if one reads further about it. So anyway, the will to serve is coming in. We're beginning to transcend simply goodwill and come under the will to good and the will to serve. We have a certain sense of the plan, but really until we have cleared ourselves more thoroughly, we cannot have the revelation of the plan. And I would say that after we have managed to repel many of the negative factors under the law of repulse, perhaps somewhat before the second initiation, then we will have this greater sense of the plan. We have both fire and water in this process, and that can create the mist and steam and glamour. We're on the path quite definitely, especially once the first initiation has been conferred, but we have not yet entered the stream, which is a second initiation. This occurs at the second initiation. Service is growing more, and more training is being applied. We see how important Saturn is all the way along this path of discipleship. And maybe you meet someone who can help you and become not only the little chela, which you are at the first degree, but increasingly the chela in the light. The higher chela stands in a greater light and sheds that light upon you, as does your soul. Some people have remarked that at this stage, when they have clients, there can be a fair degree of instability. Knowledge and sacrifice are here. This is the sacrifice sub-knowledge pedal, and will is coming in via Vulcan. We're beginning to understand what is the will of the soul. We have not entirely acquiesced to it. So we have this question, am I driving forward or am I being driven? Well, maybe both are true. We drive forward under Mars, but we are often driven under Vulcan. The soul is increasingly in the driver's seat, but not thoroughly, because it's too early in the game. There are so many lives to pass through before that kind of real scorpionic control occurs at the second degree, and the will definitely enters at that point. The will enters and overcomes desire and selfishness at that point, but it has not occurred yet. And so though the soul is increasingly in the driver's seat, we are also aspiring and driving ourselves forward. Maybe some first rays coming in here with the idea of sacrifice altogether, and there is this driving forward through space. So we are definitely on fire with aspiration, and we're seeking to reach the goal which we now sense. We're breaking into something new, that's very Uranian. Some skill in action is emerging because we have more and more seventh ray. It's not enough to aspire, this we learn. In the sixth petal we were already aspiring, but in the seventh petal application is required, and we do have some of the hardline rays available for that application. We are, as the statements have told us, gaining control, even domination over the threefold lower man, and especially at first and at this point over the etheric physical nature. Good stuff comes down, bad stuff comes up. Well, that's right before the first degree and following. The good stuff is Vulcan coming down, the bad stuff is Pluto coming up. I mean, it's really a simplification, of course, but we learn, perhaps, that we are not as good as we thought we were. We can delude ourselves if we're not willing to engage in psychology. Our virtues are present, and they are coming down from the causal body. The Stymphalian birds, well, I think that happens a little bit later. The Stymphalian birds that live in the marshes and so forth, they are glamours and illusions. And on our way to the opening of the eighth petal, we have to confront these. And the illusions come even later, on our way to the opening of the ninth petal. So we may have been doing this class in New Zealand, I'm not sure, but we're having some of the Maori references that we must learn to put the taniwa to sleep, or the monster. Well, there's Cetus and serpents and Hydrus, those constellations representing the monster within. And maybe, I don't know if it's enough to put the monster to sleep, we actually have to defeat the monster and prove it to be illusory. And this we do as we go deeper into the scorpionic process, taking the tests of the second and the third degree. We get our first real glimpse of the dweller, to the Tibetan says, in a glamour world problem at the third degree. So when people are talking about seeing their dweller before the third degree, it is improbable. Here the Libran labor, the playfulness, the holding of the boar by its hind legs. It sounds like we're gaining some mastery and some domination over the lower aspects of the shadow, beginning to see it to a certain extent and being able to express some degrees of control. Discussion of the optimistic part of Libra, positive things developing before we really face the dragon, the joy, the humor, reasoning things out, the plan, seeing things objectively, and we have to trust all this before we walk into the swamp of Lerna under Scorpio, and especially at the second degree. I mean, in a way, swamp requires water, and the initiation of the second degree involves the astral plane and water. So we're not really fully into the swamp until the lead-up to the second degree. But we have to develop these positive qualities which will allow us to sustain our confrontation with the dragon. So the idea here, sorry, is to rely upon these Libran virtues instinctively, so when the Scorpio battle comes in, we are fortified. When the Scorpio battle comes, and it's in the eighth petal, only humility and illumination, the ability to kneel and to raise the lower consciousness up towards the higher via the Antikorana, only this will help. The battles of Hercules go on a long time, and especially in relation to these three initiations. Really, Hercules, the disciple, is battling on the path of probationary initiation and initiation. His battles do not really take us into the realm of being the world savior. Maybe they take us in the Aquarian the Aquarian labor and the Pisces labor into that saving and salvaging role. Someone has said here that we're fighting with our own shadow. Well, that's very true. The shadow is the dragon aspect of our nature, the lower dragon, the lower serpent. But fighting with our own shadow is difficult to win. We have to dispel the shadow through the sunlight. When we kneel, it means to trust in a higher power, and we have built a road to this higher power, and that higher power comes in from the Buddhic plane, and it's a very scorpionic thing. So this lies ahead. We have to learn to trust the Buddha. Strength, courage, and heart, we have to rely upon those. We're talking pretty much about the battle with the Hydra. Holding the Hydra, I think this is an important idea, is really the sustainment of a tremendous point of tension. Now, we do deal with some aspects of the Hydra here in the seventh petal, more the physical aspects. Then we deal with fear, hatred, and ambition, or love of power, especially at the second degree. And the whole Hydra battle continues all the way through the initiations. Well, this is how to wilt the Hydra in the light, you know. In a way, we are the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, and we are detaching ourselves from the snakes, from the lower serpents, not from the snakes, meaning the wise ones. And we're holding under a point of tension our consciousness in the higher worlds, and we're letting the triad come down and wilt the Hydra. So all the lower things then are seen in the triadal light, but here in the seventh petal, this cannot begin at first. This is something that is required. It's our task when the Antikorana is somewhat functional, and this has more to do with the eighth petal. Okay, so we're contemplating. We are becoming the soul very gradually. One part of soul infusion has occurred at the first degree. The fight with glamour is long, and it's particularly intensive on our planet because our planetary logos, we are told, still has, whatever it means, you know, cosmic astral issues that he is working through. Holding the tension for the second degree is like life and death. In all the three petals, Scorpio is active. So the physical heads of the Hydra are coming up for treatment. Virgo is very physical as well. The physical disciplines help us with this, but we're in the Maya, and we have to organize our response to life. There's a lot of organizing of the etheric physical body that's going on in this seventh petal. And we're then dealing with the emotional components of the physical heads. If we have sex, money, and comfort, there are emotions attached to all of those, and we have to deal with them. If we are a monk, we may give up many things, give up the physical world, let us say, give up comfort, you know, just that cold little cell with a narrow bed, maybe, or a mat. Give up money and, you know, embrace the vow of poverty and, well, certainly the sex, giving up the sex is often part of the monastic life. But maybe I'm not yet faced with the emotional component. And that can be even more demanding, a more difficult task to face the emotions associated with the physical heads. And that takes a long time to work through. Many of our old desires are rooted in the sacral center, the ancient desires, says the Tibetan. It's not just a question of the solar plexus center. So all of these will come up and they have to be conquered between the first and the second degree. So I'm applying what I have learned in my first journey from the sixth to the seventh petal, facing emotional consequences. And there are emotional implications to sacrifice, most definitely, and we have to deal with these when working in this petal and working on into the eighth. It's the Virgo Libra experience in a way, but some initial work in Scorpio follows after the first degree. We are working in petal number 8 as well, even though we haven't finished petal number 7. We're reminding ourselves here that the great impulse of the soul is to give, is contribution, whilst that of the personality is acquisition. So we gradually learn in these sacrifice petals that it is, in fact, better to give than to receive. Of course, if we examine deeply, we realize that giving automatically induces reception. To those who give all is given. Here we're talking about the major distinction between petal number 6 and 7 is about giving and receiving. We're still expecting something back in return with petal number 6, and in petal number 7 we are being weaned away from that attitude. So this is an achievement petal. The first degree is a great achievement. The Libran part of the first degree is not only the sacral center and the throat, it's the heart. Divine love and understanding coming in via the secondary aspect of Libra. Changing kingdoms, new rules, new laws, and we start to become the real solar self and begin slowly to identify with that inner self. Solar fire is coming up into a majority position and will be certainly that by the time we take the second degree under the very strong impress of Scorpio. So there's purification here. We're seeking a balance between the sun and the moon, even though we realize that the balance will tip soon in favor of the sun quite completely. In Scorpio, the sun wins entirely. But for the time being, there is harmony in heaven and on earth, and some sort of Libran balance between the two aspects of divinity, the second and third, is required here. Are we the magnetic flames? Well, that's one of the monadic names that can be applied. It's in the seventh position. And it also sounds, of course, as if the eighth petal is involved with the lotuses of perfume. We are helping others rise at this point because we are serving. We're starting to see the wider scope. There must be common sense at the first degree and growing humility, that right sense of proportion. Even though people do become fanatical after this point at times, I suppose depending on the ray, but we have to remember that if we're working towards the second degree, no matter what our other rays may be, we are using the sixth ray. But perhaps here, because Saturn is so strong, a new sense of realism about what life is all about will enter. There are lots of lessons to come. The heavenly energy is coming in fuller and ever more full. The Uranian freeing energy is coming in as long as we obey the law. That, of course, is the kind of paradox. The consciousness of the man at this point is very open to the idea of miracles. It needs a settling down in terms of the sixth or common sense. So the old idea of ASK, 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 seek, and knock. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open to you, ask and the answer will come. So we are now oriented towards getting our information and our guidance from the inner spiritual source. The power to inspire may be here, but we have to be careful that it's not the blind leading the blind. Only one small part of the soul has manifested itself. But this is a time when the Holy Spirit is close and people are open to the miraculous. So it's a beginning of a mental orientation using what you know for service. We're beginning to carry the light. We may be quite attractive at this point because we're so enthusiastic, so inspired under the sixth ray. You know, what do we have here? Good people talking about God. Well, it's kind of a sixth ray perspective. But the possibility of being on fire and enthusiastic following the first degree and moving into the regime which demands the application of the sixth degree, of the sixth ray, is very possible. So we're using the sixth ray to break down the dense world. Interesting here that Leo can combine with the sixth ray and with the sense of drama at the first initiation. But really still at this degree we are still little Shailas, we are still babes in Christ. Well, those were a collection of thoughts, and of course, you know, you will have your own collection of thoughts. So this really is the end. All right, well, it belongs somewhere. All right. So we have reached now the end of Egoic Lotus webinar commentary program, program 52. And this is, let's see, do we go up here to 58? Oh, that's too far, isn't it? Little speed reading course here. Here it is, yeah, we're on 52, and this is part 4, the synthesis for petal number 7. So, part 4 of synthesis for petal 7. And we will begin with Egoic Lotus webinar commentary program 53, which will be part 1 of the synthesis for petal number 8. Yes, so much information, and we need to be very familiar with it so that, you know, it's somehow integrated into us and into our ability to perceive. It necessarily happens that we must evaluate people who come to us for assistance, and even those to whom we may look for assistance. And many factors go into this evaluation. Eventually, the intuition will reveal to us exactly the evaluation that we should have. This is not to judge people, others, but it is to understand who we can help and how, and from whom we seek to gain assistance and what that assistance might be. Once we have worked in a strenuous and abnormal manner and applied strenuous and abnormal efforts, there is going to be unfoldment in the seventh petal, and the rod of initiation will confirm this unfoldment and bring about further unfoldment. Some of the unfoldment we can actually induce on our own on the path of probation. It will cause a reflex unfoldment. We are definitely at this point on the path. We have entered the kingdom, the fifth kingdom, albeit as simply as probationers in a way. We are on the way towards integration of the personality and the soul. There is some small degree of soul infusion, such that 25% of the atoms in the etheric and emotional vehicle will be atomic atoms, and maybe this is so also for the mental vehicle, but of course the atomic matter for the mental vehicle lies on the plane of the causal body, so is already in a sense there. That has not been entirely worked out, how the atomic matter can appear in the mental body at such an early stage when the causal body itself is only refocusing on the second sublevel, which is not the atomic level. So there are some things to work out there, but suffice it to say, this petal applies to many of us at this time. And so many who are interested in these matters are initiates of the first degree. The book Esoteric Psychology is written for initiates of the first degree, and it's a pretty safe bet, given the many incarnations between the first and second degree, to think that most of those who are active now in the study of occultism and the attempt to become disciples are primarily initiates of the first degree, maybe some of them moving to the second degree, and maybe a few beyond that point. Okay, well, this will close our work for the synthesis of petal 7, and we will be obliged then to work in petal number 8 shortly, a very interesting and important petal which has so much to do with the a human creative hierarchy, the ninth, given that Scorpio is the sign for this human creative hierarchy. So we'll see you shortly with program number 53 going into petal number 8. Okay, see you then.